السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. And welcome once again to Radio Islam in 1548. Okay, we have Muftisab right now with us in the studio, and we are going live with the Q&A program. Our lines are open, +27118541548 if you are calling from abroad. It's 011-854-1548. Our mobile number for tonight is usual 082-356-5988. Alternatively, you can email us on air at radioislam.co.za. If you have any questions, and for our listeners out there as well, and our internet listeners, and our satellite listeners as well. Okay, we have Muftisab with us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Muftisab?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah.
Okay, jazakumullah for joining us once again. We have a lot of questions already coming in here on the mobile phone. We have a question that says, a Muslim brother had a function. His son went for Hajj, but he only invited the rich people. It says, please advise the brother. The brother must not worship money, because he normally invites only the rich at these type of functions. And also, to give a da'wah like this when a person goes for Hajj, is it proof from any hadith?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, to invite someone for a meal is permissible, and to accept an invitation is also permissible. However, this also goes amongst those activities which fi nafsihi per se in itself are permissible, but the surrounding activities around that permissible activity will render it un-Islamic. For example, someone invites you for a meal, but does not want to respect the mere fact that you do not listen to music because music is haram. You want separation, segregation of genders. He does not respect that. Now that function, the invitation was permissible, but the surrounding circumstances have rendered it not permissible. First of all, to have this function that I am going for Hajj, and now either my son or my daughter, etc., proceeding for Hajj, and have a huge function, spend thousands of rands, is not proven. In fact, it is a clear sign of ostentation, show, pomp, glory, display of wealth. Along comes with it extravagance, lavishness, foolishness, and so many other un-Islamic activities take place. Would that money spent, you can aid to the contribution of building masajids, do valuable charitable work. There are people starving currently, Muslims starving in the world, and we are wasting money. Then, although it is his prerogative to invite whomsoever he wants to, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on important occasions like Walima has stated clearly that do not forget to invite the poor people. And this we generally forget. So in these functions also, we should try as far as possible to invite the not so fortunate, the average people, so that we are reminded that money is not all, and Allah Ta'ala has given us today, and Allah Jalla Majdahu can take it away tomorrow.
Jazakumullah for that. Let's go on to the next question. It says, dear Mufti, a person in my family is a troublemaker. Yet every year on the night of Bara'a, little Bara'a, she calls to make maaf, but resorts to her troublemaking once again after this night has finished. Now she seeks maaf as she is going for Hajj. How do I respond to such a person?
I think we have responded to that last week. However, that generally you should advise them and make dua while talking to them, that may Allah Ta'ala take you safely, may your duas become be accepted, may you May Allah Ta'ala keep all of us away from backbiting, gossiping. May Allah Ta'ala keep all of us away from slandering and carrying tales. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the ability not to cause domestic troubles. And may Allah Ta'ala grant us the ability not to carry. So make dua, and in the dua have your admonition message alongside with it. Ji.
JazakumAllah. Let's go on to the next question. These two of my listeners' lines are open, 8541548. We have a question here on the screen in front. It says, is it okay to go for a Christian funeral?
Any funeral of any other denomination, religious denomination, we should abstain from. Because on one hand, you should phone that person and pass your words of condolence, and also use it as an opportune moment to remind people that Allah Ta'ala is one, and we are responsible members of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to be accounted for, and we are going to stand before Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and also that there is going to be Akhirat. So basically we can talk in our message of condolence, the message of Islam, especially the difficulty will arise, or people will not know what to do when your neighbor passes away, dies, and he or she, they are not Muslims. Before anything happens, go there, offer your assistance. If they want some assistance, then give it to them. But once their religious ceremony starts and commence, you should be nowhere near them. Ji.
Okay, going on to the next question. Which are the Sharia compliant investments which we can invest in without any doubts? And I'm sorry, this question came last week as well.
As far as these investments are concerned, that we should look for certain criterion. Number one, that before I mention this point, every other organization, every other financial institution is now claiming Shariat compliancy. And unfortunately, this word now has got a spin-off. We should be very careful about this. How we can be cautious? You should phone and find out who has given the accreditation, who has certified that this is permissible, which alim is behind there, which group of ulama are behind there. And as a standard rule, local ulama must be on board, because these are local transactions and these are local monetary financial institutes. So you should have local ulama going through the contracts so that the permissibility remains. Yes, because of these difficulties, there are a group of ulama who are saying, no, we should be very cautious and abstain. We are saying, if they are local ulama who are competent, fearing Allah Jalla Majdahu, the organization claiming Sharia compliancy has got checks and balances, then you as a common lay Muslim will not be accountable on the day of judgment. So you may invest with such a organization. Ji.
JazakumAllah. Let's take on to the next question. We have a question here that says, can children or can babies wear clothing with animated objects on them?
The hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very clear that malaika, meaning the malaika of mercy, that the malaika who bring blessings and boons and favors, they do not enter the homes wherein there is pictures and dogs. So some stupid person, why I mentioned malaika of mercy, some stupid person cannot say, oh, I will keep pictures and dogs, now the angel of death will not come into my house. This does not refer to the angel of death, etc., or the angels that are going to bring the punishment or chastisement of Allah Jalla Majdahu. So when we have got this clear hadith in front, we should not buy clothing for the children especially, which have got photographs imprinted upon the clothing. Because obviously the angels of mercy will not be with the child. And we want the angels of mercy to be with us and the children. Sometimes if you look carefully, that you have people phone and they say, my child is crying, my child is getting nightmares, my child is screaming in the night, my child has now started talking in his sleep, my child is walking in the sleep. If you look at the room where the child is, there will be photographs and there will be pictures, and there will be what you call picture storybooks under the pillow of the child. Or the child will have nightwear pajamas, having pictures. All this is causing the difficulties. So abstain totally. Gee.
Okay, going on to the next question, just to remind listeners, our lines are open, 8541548. We do await your calls. We have a question here that says, we are making qurbani at home. The question says, can we keep all the meat of the qurbani for ourselves at home?
As far as the qurbani is concerned, that it is mustahab, good, nice, preferable, desirable, to divide it into three portions. One third to keep, one third to give away to the needy, deserving, and one third to give relatives and friends. However, this is a rule of permissibility, having goodness in it. If a person says, no, I'm keeping all the meat, because perhaps the person feels, from a monetary aspect also, that qurbani, although I can make it, but I require the meat for myself, for my own consumption. There is absolutely no sin in keeping all the meat. And even if you do not require the meat for financial reasons, if you want to keep all the meat, then you may do so.
Okay, Jazakumullah for that. Let's go on to the next question. We know that it is time of Hajj and Qurbani as well. People out there could ask Mustafa any question regarding the Qurbani as well as the Hajj. You may do so. Lines are open, 8541548 082 356 5988. That's our mobile number. Okay, during an argument, a man told his wife to take her things and get out of his house. Does this amount to a divorce?
Divorce has various types and categories and classifications. Basically, we got divorce a sari, clear, non-ambiguous. And then we have got divorce talaq a kinaya. Kinaya meaning ambiguous. In talaq a sari, the word talaq is used. The husband unfortunately says his wife, I divorce you. I give you talaq. So there is no question there of what was the intention of the husband. But when it is kinaya, inferred, indirect, ambiguous, now he uses such words like pack up and go, go to your mother's house, leave this place, it's over, and I'm fed up, run away, disappear. But obviously, unfortunately, I am saying the words very civil, in a civil manner. Unfortunately, a lot of poetry is recited while saying these words. Now, there, the intention of the person is taken into consideration. If a person says, pack up and go to your mother's house, the alim will ask the person, what you meant by this? He said, no, I just was admonishing her. No problem. But if he says, I meant divorce, then one divorce will fall. One divorce will take place. So we should be very cautious in what we say, what we utter. Therefore, think before speaking.
Okay, Jazakumullah, Mustafa. Let us go on to the next question. Is it possible for a woman to use makeup for the pleasure of her husband?
It is permissible for her to do so, even in the confines of the bedroom to dress attractively for the pleasure of her husband and to apply that perfume which has got permissible ingredients. It is absolutely permissible to do so. But it will not be permissible for her to cut her hair, for example, because cutting of the hair is not permissible for women, irrespective whether the husband is demanding that or not.
Do parents have to pay zakat on behalf of their non-baligh kids?
Non-baligh, that means immature children, even if they are millionaires, zakat is not obligatory upon the non-baligh's wealth. Similarly, like kurbani, the non-baligh kurbani is not wajib upon the non-baligh child, irrespective of whether the non-baligh child is wealthy.
Okay, same SMS, same question. It says, can a father or mother use the money of the non-baligh kids? It says that Muftisab, after using it, sometimes we do put the money back. In a month, sometimes we don't have money. Can we use the money of the kid himself?
See, the wealth of the nabalig child. Remember, the parents are the well-wishers of the child. They are the caretakers of the child. They are the guardians of the child. They are the custodians of the child. So, when they are in themselves financial need, they can utilize the money of their nabalig children. And they should try their utmost to replace it. But if they have got valid, tremendous financial constraints, then they will not be accountable in the sight of Allah Jalla Majdahu. And also another masala, that the Nabalig's wealth can be utilized by the parents to sustain and provide for the child. But they will buy for the child essential things. For example, clothing, medical medicine for the doctor, and shoes. But they will not go and buy unnecessary things like chocolates, toys, and designer-made clothing which are extremely expensive. They will buy with the nabalig money essentials, necessities for the upkeep in a proper average manner for the child. G.
Going on to the next question, is it permissible for a woman to propose to a man?
It is permissible to do so, but where she saw the man? G.
Okay, we have a question on the screen that says, is it acceptable to give the jewelry as mahar for a wedding, or do you have to give something separate over and above the jewelry?
No, you can give the mahar, the jewelry as mahar, as whole of the mahar, part of the mahar, or extra. Meaning, you can give the jewelry as the mahar, or you can say so much money and the jewelry as mahar. Or you can say this jewelry is a gift. But what we should understand here, that the mahar is the property of the wife. And many times the mahar is stipulated, but the mahar is not given. Sometimes, unfortunately, the mahar is given in public, but they connive and take the mahar away from the female. That is absolutely haram. Thirdly, sometimes the husband tricks the wife into spending the mahar, and that also is not good. The mahar is the property of the wife. The wife has got ownership, possession, control, and she can spend as her prerogative, not be tricked into doing whatever other people want to do with the mehr. Ji.
Okay, we have a question here that says, we will make, a lot of times we hear this, it says, we'll make a qurbani provided you make one at home. Is this permissible to say?
This statement is not correct. Because first of all, understand the law that qurbani becomes wajib upon sahib and nisab, sahib amal. And now, no one gives any person or any organization or institute the authority to make a second qurbani wajib. Because the lawmaker is Allah Jalla Majdahu. Law has been expounded by Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So you cannot say that do this, provided you do this, then you can allow you to do the next activity. The precondition that we will do your qurbani, provided you have to do one at home, this provided is a precondition, is a clause which a man cannot put upon any person. Because the Shariat is not giving you the leeway to put this clause, this extra clause. And you cannot put a precondition when the Shariat is not allowing you to put a precondition. And we should not adhere to such statements. Ji.
Next question going on to say, a brother is working at the audio store and gets commission for his sales. Is the money halal?
It is permissible. And the brother should try to get an alternative job. And whilst working in such an environment and store, he should make constant istighfar and make tawbah repeatedly, seeking earnestly another job. Ji.
Okay, the question came early on. It says, we have a response to it. It says, the answer to your question, Maulana, is, I have just seen the boy once, but he seems to be a decent boy.
Inshallah, then you go and propose. Make, before you propose, then make mashwara with your elders. Before you propose, make mashwara with your elders. So that you've seen, you like. Now what you do is make mashwara with your father, your mother, your uncles. Make investigation about the boy. Because you may like what you see, but you do not have the knowledge of the unseen, of what's the personality of the person, character of the person, financial situation, stability of the person, how the person, is he pious or not pious, is the person regular with salat or not, is the person having a good reputation, how is his financial dealings, and who does he go around with him, with, well, who are his friends, how does he interact with people. So there are so many things we have to find out before you make this proposal. So do not make it on just looking. You may be deceived. So follow protocol. Consult with your elders so that they can make the investigation which you as a female cannot make. After they come back with positive results, then you can make the proposal. It is absolutely permissible.
Going on to the next question, Mufsab, can a woman wear imitation rings?
I think this comes every week. Every week. And best as ever says she cannot.
Okay, same SMS, different question. What dua can one read for a good marriage and proposal? This comes every week as well.
Have I emailed you that kitab? I think what we'll have to do, I brought a copy of it this evening and I've left it at the reception, but I have not published this book. So, but if you email it, now we are, alhamdulillah, responding to all emails. If you email me at mufti@mweb.co.za, then inshallah we'll send you this booklet. It's about 18-19 pages. and we will try to speak to the administration here if they cannot keep a copy here, and somehow the other, when public want it, then they can make a copy, provided the public pays for the copy.
JazakAllah for the Muftisab. Let's go on. Next question. Is zakat payable on shares?
You will pay current market related value of the shares. However, the shares, you will have to seek guidance from the ulama, what you can buy, what you cannot buy. Ji.
Next question going on to, it says, must a girl make parda from people who are old and people who she doesn't fear any fitna happening?
Remember that when the man or female reaches a certain age, meaning that now, inshallah, we do not expect any trouble, and that person is very old, then the laws of hijab will be laxed, meaning that the strict laws of hijab will not be applicable. However, that one is the laws of hijab will be relaxed, meaning coming in front of the person, even maybe saying a few words to that person, even presenting a cup of tea to the person, but there will not be very close discussions or intimate discussions or sensitive discussions with that person. Ji.
Next question, Mufsab, it says, can a person say, Ya Ali Madad?
To say words like this and to seek help from anyone other than Allah Jalla Majdahu tantamounts to shirk, ascribing partners to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Jalla Majdahu, He is the one who removes calamities, misfortunes. He is the one who takes us out of difficulties. He is the one who gives us ailments, sicknesses, and He alone is the one who cures. And He is the one in whose hand lies disgrace, dignity, humiliation, prosperity, progress. So everything is in His control. All the Anbiya alayhi salam called Him and Him alone when they were in difficulty. All the Sahaba called Him when they were in difficulty. Every pious, righteous personality call and call only Allah Jalla Majdahu, who has got no partner whatsoever. So we also should follow suit. No one can help but Him. He is the one who takes out every individual, obedient or disobedient, out of difficulty.
Okay, JazakAllah for that. Let's take our first caller for tonight. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, how are you?
Alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum to Mufti Sahab. Just taking on Mufti Sahab's point on that, Ya Ali Madad, and they, in our locality here, that some people believe, and they say Ya Rasulullah. And when they say Ya Rasulullah, means that He is present. If Mufti Sahab could please elaborate on the whether it is permissible to have such belief in the sense that when you say Ya Rasulullah. That's my first question. The second question is, what I would like to know is, what would be the position of the Prophet ﷺ's parents in the hereafter? Because some support the belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam permission to revive his parents and to life again and afford them an opportunity to embrace Islam. Could Mufti Sahab just elaborate slightly on that for me? And the last question, what is on the question of intercession of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Does it mean that the mere relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would absolve one of his sins, or will he be accountable for his sins, or at which stage will Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then intercede on behalf? Is it after when one is punished for his sins, and then when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam follow, in what order will that take place?
Okay, JazakAllah for that. Assalamu alaikum.
First of all, to say Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, remember Ya is harf and ida in Arabic, and it is a statement of calling. If a person has got belief that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is definitely not omnipresent, And if a person stated Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a state of ecstasy and in non-controllable love, then it will be permissible. But if a person says Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and holds this belief that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam is omnipresent, then definitely this tantamounts to shirk. That person will leave the fold of Islam. And remember, Allah is Allah, and Allah is our creator. Creation cannot equal the creator. Other denominations unfortunately have wavered and steered away from the path of truth when they have confused the creator and the creation. When they have taken the creation and made them the creator, or when they have taken the qualities of the creator and given those qualities which are special to the creator, to the creation, they definitely have deviated greatly. So to have this belief that beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam is omnipresent is not valid, not correct, and definitely fallacious and erroneous. As far as the parents of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam, first of all, understand one rule, that these questions of this nature are purely academic from one angle. Secondly, that there are activities and questions for which we are not going to be questioned. One person came to Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi and asked that who is on the right? Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu or Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu? So Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi said, don't worry, in the grave they're not going to ask you this. So worry about what you are going to be questioned about. Thirdly, that the general opinion is this masla about the parents of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mawkuf, meaning that it is left in abeyance. However, many ulama ikram are of the opinion that they will be in Jannah also. Thirdly, intercession of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be prior to punishment. The brother is asking about the order. It will be long prior to the person going to Jahannam. Now this is the general rule. However, we are getting hadiths wherein we find Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that after his pleading will take out people via his intercession who have already been punished and are in Jahannam. So that is also been proven, but that is limited cases. But the vast majority of the intercession will be prior to the entry of the Muslim to Jahannam. Here also must realize something. There are many people who think that Muslim will not go to Jahannam, hell. We should go away from that. That does not mean that we are born Muslim or we have accepted Islam and we carry a Muslim name, then automatically we are going to go into Jannah. There are many who hold this view. And when I say many, I mean in the hundreds or thousands who hold this view. And this is a completely erroneous view, and it is as a result of lack of proper Islamic education. Remember, disobedient Muslim, transgressing Muslim, and evil Muslims will go for purging and cleansing to Jahannam. And Allah Jalla Majdahu, we make dua to him that he saves us from going for even a minute to Jahannam.
JazakAllah Muftaf. Question that came last week, brother said that he accepted Islam and he has been confused by seeing people doing all types of different things in the masjid. And he said that he never got your answer so clearly last week, is what must a person do after the salah?
Gee, I also realized that last week perhaps I was not very clear. However, I do realize the dilemma and predicament the brother is in. Very simple. After the Farz Salah, dua is proven. It is mustahab for the Imam to make dua. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated that after the Farz Salah, dua is accepted. That is why there are so many duas recorded after the Farz Salat. The quantity of duas proven after the Farz Salat proves there is the existence of the dua. So, however, we as a rule, the Imam does not make this dua inaudibly or softly, and he does not dare to leave it out, whereas he should at times leave it out and at times make it very softly, and also that at times make it audibly, clearly, so that the muqtadis, the followers, learn the duas. All those three are permissible and good to do. So the brother should not be confused. He should make the dua and inshallah hope it will be accepted. However, that chorusing after the dua is not proven. And to raise the voice after the dua, that Imam Nawawi Rahmatullah Alayhi, a Shafi scholar, has explained that that was during the initial time of Islam.
JazakAllah, let's go on to the next question. We have a question here that says, a man has a female secretary with whom he speaks to in a soft tone, which he doesn't use with his wife. He says he also, the wife says, he's alone in the office at times with her occasionally. As a wife, I object because it's causing many arguments at home and doubt in my heart, especially since he is not loving to me. She says, can I, as a wife, insist that he dismiss her and employ a male or an elderly lady?
I think this is a spin-off of the last week's answer which I gave. And definitely, that this question is different, firstly, and secondly, is a valid concern. Because it is absolutely haram for any Muslim to be alone with any female, Muslim or female, female, in one room. I've been informed, unfortunately, that this is taking place in a lot of other places too. That where so-called righteous people and pious people and those who are also leading salat, etc., they sit alone with their secretaries. This is absolutely haram. And ulama have made a statement that if Hazrat Hassan Basri, rahmatullah alayh, and if Hazrat Rabia Basriya are alone in one room, then that also is wrong, erroneous, and shaitan is the third. Because the hadith is very clear that when there is a male stranger and female stranger alone, the third one is shaitan. Hadith is clear that shaitan runs in the blood of man. There is no such thing that the person is a Maulana even, or Mufti even, or Sheikh even, or whatever, and he says, no, I don't get affected by females. This is absolutely wrong. Heart, the person cannot say, my heart is clean, especially in this age of ours. So, the person, first of all, not supposed to be talking to the secretary in this soft, luring tones, and this flirtation tones. He should be firm, and the advice of his wife is absolutely in place and correct, that you rather employ a male. And alhamdulillah, the male will be able to sustain, provide the food for the family. As a rule, we are clear, females must not go out and toil and work and sweat. Their role is not that in Islam. Their role is to be the queens of the home and wait for the husband so that they be provided by the husband. Even I'm not very happy that they employ elderly female. Young female, elderly female, still female is female. So you should opt for the Shari cause, employ a male. And the husband should not be upset here, because the wife has got valid complaints. The wife is totally correct if she is upset and if she is complaining that he is not supposed to be alone with a female. It is absolutely essential for the females, when they leave the confines of the house, to dress as per the requirements of the Sharia.
JazakAllah. Let's go on to the next question. Okay, our SMS number 0823565988. Going on to the next question, we have brother says, the other day I was passing and I heard a person say, "Oh beloved father," is this shirk in any way?
No, this is not shirk. In the Quran Kareem, that we'll find that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam addressing his father like that too. And this is very good. If a person addresses the elderly how they're supposed to be. One of the greatest difficulties in our localities and societies is that the juniors are not respecting the seniors. And these seniors are not affectionate to the juniors. And when we start learning to respect our seniors, irrespective of whether we've got differences with them, we should learn to respect them. And we should learn how to talk to them. We should learn how to address them. We should learn how to interact with them. We should learn what to say, when to say, how to say. And this will take us far as community harmony is concerned. These days, unfortunately, when we talk to people, we are like fighting with people. And we talk to people as if to say we are picking a quarrel with people. We should not do this. And especially when it comes to kith and kin, family members, and especially when it comes to the children, they have to learn how to address their father and mother in the most appropriate of words, full of respect, honor and dignity. Remember something, and this has been written in the preface of a book, Rights of Parents, by Mufti Ahmad Behmat Rahmatullah Alayh, who was the Sheikhul Hadith of Falah Darain. And he has written some stories in his book where the child was ill-treating the parent. And when the people asked the parent, "Why your child is ill-treating you?" he said, "Don't worry, this is not strange, because I was ill-treating my parents. Now this is payback time." So remember something, that what you do, expect it to come back to you.
JazakAllah for the Mufsab. We have a question here that says, Mufsab, in today's time as a Muslim, what does a Muslim do? How does he follow Quran and Sunnah in a way that will lead us to Jannah? We know in today's time we have people that are Shias, people that are leading us astray from the Quran and the Hadith, people that are Tablighi, that are Sunni. Who do we follow? What do we do? It says, "I'm a Muslim, I believe in Allah, and the Prophet Muhammad is the last messenger of Allah." That's it.
This question is very interesting. First of all, that as a rule, we are entitled to ask our respected alim guide, if he asks you to do certain activities, you are allowed to say that, "Is this proven from the Quran and Sunnah. Remember, we are from the Ahle Sunnat wal Jamaat, not Ahle Hadith wal Jamaat. Because the Sunnat encompasses the Hadith, and the Hadith does not encompass the total Sunnah. This is an academic discussion and statement. However, that one person one day, he came so-called to accept Islam, and he wanted to talk to me. Gave him the time, so he asked one question, and Allah Ta'ala put one answer in my head. I'll say the question and the answer which Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala put in the mind and the heart. The person said, "See, I want to accept Islam. But the problem is I do not know what Islam to accept. I do not know whether I must accept Tablighi Islam or Sunni Islam. What I must accept?" So I realized that this person here, he wants to cause trouble. So I told him, "See, that Tablighi Muslim is a Muslim. Sunni Muslim is a Muslim. So Tablighi is a Muslim, Sunni is a Muslim. And a Sunni is a non-active Tablighi. And a Tablighi is an active Sunni Muslim." So Allah Jalla Majduhu put that answer. This person now is looking at me. He thought that I am going to tell him, "Oh, there is a lot of differences, etc." Remember this word, first of all, historically speaking, Sunni. If you are a student of history, you will come to realize it was an abbreviation for Ahle Sunnat wal Jamaat during the time when Shiaism was gaining ground control. So the ulama, instead of telling the public that we are from the Ahle Sunnat wal Jamaat, the ulama told the people, when you want to identify yourself, you say Sunni. So that's how that word Sunni came. Now in this age, the law is very simple, that what is proven clearly, do that. For example, 5 times daily salat, would jama, proven, do it. Keeping of the beard, do it. Adopting the sunnah of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, do it. Enjoining what is good, forbidding what is evil, do it. General rights of human beings, do it. Pay your zakat when it's necessary. Go for hajj when it's necessary. Ramzan comes fast. Give charity. Do not harm people. Do not let anybody harm you. Follow that alim who is practical. And hijab for the ladies. See the alim who is righteous, pious, who is saying things and doing it, who is extremely cautious of his activities, and here follow him, use him as a guide. And then inshallah you will get salvation in this world, and in the grave, and in the akhirah.
Okay, let's go on to the next question. Is it permissible for a girl to make dua to marry a particular person that proposed to marry her? Okay, so we have a call on here. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah increase Al Mufti Sahab's knowledge, inshallah.
Ameen, inshallah.
Mufti Sahab?
Ji. Ji.
Can you please tell me, in simple terms, if a man is an atheist, what theory or argument can I forward to convince him that there is an Allah?
Ji.
Jazakallah, listen to the air.
Jazakumullah, Fadil. Assalamu alaikum, Ji Mufti Sahab.
I appreciate his words of encouragement. See, atheist is one who denies the existence of Allah Jalla Majdahu. One argument, first of all, I refer you to one translation that we did. The translation is the book of Maulana Idris Khandelvi Rahmatullah Alayh. It's called Aqaidul Islam. In the opening sections of the book, it is a discussion on to prove Allah Ta'ala exists. And they have got a concept that Allah does not exist, the atheist, our replies are numerous. For example, we are saying that molecule plus molecule gives us matter. And for the molecule to make matter, there has to be some movement. And the one who gives that movement is Allah Jalla Majdahu. The clock did not come into existence by itself. There was an inventor for the clock. The writing did not come into existence. There was a writer. The Arab Bedouin says that by looking at the camel footprints, I know the existence of the camel. So when we look at the kayanat, the earth and the moon and the stars and the revolution and the rotation and the growing and deterioration and decay of plants and humans, then definitely there is a creator. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, when they came to debate with him, he told them, what do you say of a person who says that a tree just fell down automatically and carved itself automatically into a boat, and people got onto it and it automatically crossed the river? What do you say of that person? They say this person must be mad. He said, when all this activity, there has to be someone doing it, that this whole rising and setting of the sun, etc., definitely there is someone behind it. Don't you see that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he debated with the Nimrod and he told him that Allah Ta'ala is the one who gives and takes life, this stupid fellow, he freed one who is supposed to be killed, and he killed one free man. Then Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam told him that my Allah, my Rabb, takes the sun from the east and makes it set in the west, you do the opposite. فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرْ, that he was flabbergasted and he denied. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, he made this person look very silly. So all these arguments can be presented, and as far as seeing is believing, that is a fallacious theory. We haven't seen America, Russia, Moscow, but we believe it. We haven't seen electrons and protons and nucleus, but we believe in it. And we haven't seen so many things. We don't even see, when you go to a doctor and he tells you that you have got a boil on your posterior, you haven't seen it, but you believe in it. Why? Someone told you. A truthful person, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has told us Allah is existing and Allah is one, we believe it. Ji.
Jazakumullah Fadil Mufti Sahab. I think we're taking one question more and the after, inshallah, for the nasiha. Okay, what kind of death does a person get if he drowns?
There are two types of shaheed. One is hakiki, in reality, and one is hukmi, coming in the order of. For example, to understand this, you have wuzu. Wuzu is the original. And we call it hakiki, reality. And tayammum, that is the substitute. What you can do with tayammum obviously will be valid, and it is a substitute for wuzu, but it is technically speaking not wuzu. It can do the function of wuzu, comes in the category of wuzu, serves like wuzu, but in reality it is not wuzu. Now shaheed, martyr, there are two types. Like reality, the one who loses the life whilst defending Islam, promoting Islam, raising the banner of Islam. And one coming in that order. Mazahir-e-Haq is a commentary of Mishkat. In it, Shaykh Qutbuddin rahmatullah alayhi has listed many categories, many examples of those who come in the order. For example, the one who is murdered, the one who dies of a stomach ailment, the one upon whom the wall falls down, the one who passes due to childbirth while giving birth to a child, and the one who drowns. So all this will come under the hukmi, and we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives that person and grants him early entry into Jannah.
Jazakallah. Last question, Ustaz. Does the rule of not cutting your hair and nails 10 days before Hajj apply to those that are also going for Hajj in Ihram?
No, it does not apply to them. However, understand, this rule is mustahab, and it is not sunnah, jurisprudentially speaking, or wajib or faras. You do it good, you'll get rewarded. You do not do it, you will not be accountable for it. And a person, obviously, when he's going to go in the state of Ihram on the 8th of Zil Hajj, then he must remove unwanted hair and pare the nails, so that in Ihram it becomes easier and lighter for him to remain in the condition of Ihram. So definitely there you should pare the nails and shave the and remove the unwanted hair. And for the person here who is making qurbani, it is mustahab from the 1st of Zil Hajj not to pare the nails and shave.
JazakAllah, Ustaz, there is some nasiha inshallah from your side. That's our last question for tonight.
First of all, tonight I would like to just comment on graveyard. Nowadays, unfortunately, when we go to bury the deceased, we have atrocious behavior. People group up in pockets and have come to bury instead of regarding this as a serious activity, an activity to remind us of death. People stand in pockets, they discuss business, they transact, they buy, they sell, they crack jokes, they make jokes, they laugh, and you can hear them. How unbecoming this is. And can you imagine if your father, mother, and your dear one is been buried, and there someone is laughing there in the graveyard, and someone is cackling, and someone is backbiting, gossiping, and someone is wasting time there. And people these days do not want to come and put soil. They stand like observers. You will be rewarded tremendously. And when you put soil, there will be people to put soil for you. Remember that. So we should guard ourselves and remind ourselves. And if you know someone who is behaving unbecomingly in the graveyard, approach them and tell them that, brothers, that Allah has made this deed easy. Read 3 times Surah Ikhlas, you get the sawab of 1 Quran, and pass it to the inmates of the grave or the person who has passed away. So we should take stock of ourselves. And this is becoming totally uncontrollable. And this is throughout our country. Nowhere, one place is free from this unbecoming, unsavory behavior. And we should address this from the members. And the ulama should also put a lot of stress on this, that we should now learn at least how to behave in the graveyards. Also, that I have been just informed prior to the Q&A program that Hazrat Maulana Fazlur Rahman Saab, the Shaykhul Hadith of Darul Uloom Azadwal, has taken ill and he has been admitted into a clinic. We should make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him shifa and grants him good health and shifa ajila mustamira daima. Jazakallah.
JazakAllah for that, Mustafa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase you in your knowledge, inshallah. And as we heard from the callers earlier on, a lot of people out there giving dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who will practice on whatever has been mentioned tonight.